Thank everybody already familiar with my English. If somebody don't understand something, you can ask me later. About a month and a half ago, Marla, my wife, she went to the dog school, take class. And she knew the one guy there that is a son of her teacher. And she said, when she got home, she said, I felt so sorry for that guy. And I don't know what is. And she said, I would like you talk with him. So I said, I don't know him, never saw him, but let's pray for him. So if God given us a chance to talk with him. And that week we pray for him. And next week she went back to the school. And she knew that this guy spent 10 years in the prison because of drugs and stuff. And she's knew also that her boss is giving a supper, and that guys and their families come in the supper. And I said there is a chance to I try to talk with him. And they come, and I approach to him and start talking to him and trying to find some way to share the gospel of Jesus with him. And finally, he opened his heart and told me that he already gave up because he had no friends, he had no job, nobody giving him a chance. And he said also, I give to myself 2 weeks. If not change my life, I'll find some way. And it seems that he was planning to commit suicide or something like that. And I said, don't do nothing before you ask for Jesus to help you. And I shared the gospel with him, and I said to him how Jesus changed my life, and so many people in the same situations get a chance with God and change their life. And I said to him, pray and ask in Jesus' name, and he will find a way for you. And next week, 1 week more passed, and I have idea to took him and go to the Gainesville, where I have a Brazilian church, meeting Brazilian church. The pastor come from Dallas and stay around the cowboys and in the ranch. And I asked him, Marla went, I asked him if he want to go with me. And he said, yes, I can go there. Like I don't have nothing to do anymore, and I can do it to try. And I took him and went there. And thanks, Lord, the sermon fit right in his heart, talk like about his life. And he was sitting on my side. I saw him trembling in my side. And finally, we come back home, and he said, can I go with you again if you went there next week? I said, yes, sure. But before Thursday, the next week, he said, I cannot go because I got a job. And I went to Oklahoma, and they got a job there. And he was happy. And he spent about 20 days in Oklahoma working. And he's come back to visit his mother. And he asked Marla, tell George, can I go to the church meeting again with him? And I got a girlfriend, and I want to take my girlfriend with me. And And we last Thursday, I took him there, and I saw how he's changed, his life's changing, and I saw how the Holy Spirit worked on him. So it's for the glory of Jesus, and to see how God works as a team and in his body. So he showed to Marla, how Marla showed to him, and I took him soon I can to somebody that know very well the word of God. And praise God for that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, George. That's a great testimony. You know, God is in the business of delivering us, setting us free, bringing us into a place in which He can use us and establish us to advance His kingdom. Anybody here jot down that quote from last week that I had you write down this stuff? It'll change your life. Anybody write that down? Okay. Hey, Ben, put that thing up there so everybody can see that. Okay, we've got one person. Two. Did you read it during the night and during the day? What does it say? All right. Here we go. The Christian life is about learning to live in heaven's reality now. Isn't that good? That we want to learn to live in heaven's reality now, so that we can co-labor with Christ to establish His kingdom on earth. Now, we've talked about God's kingdom a lot. If we go back into the Old Testament, kind of the Hebrew understanding of what the kingdom of heaven is all about is would run something like this. They would go back and the Jewish rabbis go back and they look at the Exodus story, when God delivers the people from Egypt and He sets them free and brings them into that freedom out into Mount Sinai. God reveals Himself to the Israelites where? In Egypt or at Mount Sinai? Mount Sinai. He establishes His covenant with them at Mount Sinai. Now, that's a... You know, the Jewish, you know, rabbis, you know, would say this is very important because God delivered and set free. Redemption occurs first. And then after redemption occurs, God redeems us so that He can reveal Himself to us and make Himself known. It's not like God came to the Israelites in Egypt and reveals Himself to them and says, okay, this is who I am, now choose to follow me, and if you choose to follow me, I'll set you free. God came along and He set them free first and delivered them. Then He reveals Himself to them. And in that revelation of who He is, and there's primarily two things that God reveals at this point to the Israelites, He reveals to them His truth and His authority. Now, we see that coming principally to the Israelites in the form of the Ten Commandments that Moses brings down from Mount Sinai, and God reveals Himself to the Israelites and says, here, I have set you free, I have redeemed you and brought you into freedom, here is who I am, and here is my truth, walk in it. And the Israelites said, everything that you say, we will do. And at that point, Israel comes under the kingship of God. Now, out of all the nations on the earth, God is sovereign over every nation. Amen? Okay, track with me. God is sovereign over every nation. Okay, but in the Old Testament, there's only one people group or one nation that God is king over, and that is the people of Israel. So God is sovereign over all the nations, and then the Old Testament would reveal that to us, but yet his kingdom, in which he rules over a people group, only occurs in the nation of Israel. Now the purpose of the nation of Israel then was to go and reveal this king who is Lord over them, so that the other nations would see and desire to come under the lordship of God. And we would call it today entering into the kingdom of God, because God is their king. So you have redemptive acts of God for the purpose of bringing a people so they can receive revelation from God, and the revelation is God's truth and his authority. And the truth and the authority is made known so that God could rule. Now, God can only rule if he has a subject who intentionally chooses to walk in the Lord's truth. Okay? So, in our case, as we think about the kingdom of heaven, God redeems us, and we recognize the redemptive act of the Lord Jesus Christ when we come and we take communion. And we see that the breaking of the bread represented the breaking of his body on the cross. The juice is the shedding of his blood. It represents that. And we see the redemptive act. God also comes then to reveal himself to us. But listen, for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we basically have to hear God's truth and his authority and see that and recognize it and say, I submit myself to it. And when we do that, we enter into the kingdom of God. Now, there were a couple of scriptures I'd like to share with you real quickly. As we were worshiping, and some of this stuff came out, and when Michael got up and was sharing, you know, we can hear the Word of God all day long and it not change our life. We're aware of that. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Just hearing it doesn't do us a whole lot of good. Right. Now, it's important that we hear the Word, but it's more important that that we do something else with it, and that is we hear the Word and then we obey the Word. For Jesus says in John 8:31, he says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold or you keep my teaching, in other words, if you put it into practice, if you put my teaching into practice, you are really my disciples. And then it goes on, he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay? Now hear what Jesus is saying, because it comes out of this context and this concept of the kingdom of heaven being a kingdom that there has been redemptive acts occurring for a people. The people hear truth and authority in revelation from God, and then they have to commit themselves. They have to intentionally, willfully choose to walk under that authority and that truth. And so Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, the truth that we often hear this word and we think, okay, if I keep the teachings of the Lord Jesus, and then I'm his disciple, and I'll know the truth, and the truth will set me free. Well, the truth is referring to Jesus Christ. He is the one who sets us free. For down in verse 36, so it says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so when we hear the Word of God and we put it into practice and we keep it, we become better acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes more to us than just a good teacher. His Word becomes alive and active, and it begins to bear fruit within our life. But just to hear it and walk away from it without implementing it, we will never walk in freedom. Just hearing it. And so Jesus then also in Luke And we hear this about, you know, in Sunday school we learned about the wise and the foolish builder who builds his house upon the sand and on the rock. And we know he's talking about God's word and what God says. But Jesus begins that section and this is found in Luke 7, chapter 6, verse 46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Again, coming from this concept of a people, and in Jesus' case, as he's speaking to the Jews, it's like redemptive act, revelation of truth, and authority to be Lord, and then the people saying, "Yes, everything you say, we will do." Now we are in covenant with God and we are in His kingdom because He is our King. And Jesus says, "Well, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then don't do what I say to do?" And so Jesus would, you know, Jesus often is telling the Hebrew people that, listen, just saying it, just hearing it is not enough. Doing it. And so what I want us to think this morning and hear this morning is that when I enter into the kingdom of heaven, it's that moment that I say that, "Lord Jesus, you are the truth. You are King, and what you say, I will do. What you command are my marching orders." And so then, therefore, we have one King and one Lord who is going to order and structure our life to live a certain way. Amen? That's in the kingdom. So not everybody who makes this profession necessarily is in the kingdom. It's those who actually walk it out, who do what our King says to do. Okay. Now, what is and so what the King says to do is what we want to do, right? You're tracking with me on this. Okay, what does the King want to do? What does the Lord Jesus want to see done on this earth right now? He wants to see the kingdom of heaven be manifested. Boom. Right here on this earth. And He's going to use us, His subjects, to accomplish that. Okay? So how does the kingdom of heaven then come in greater measure in our life today? Well, it comes whenever His subjects walk out what He commands us to do. Yeah, this is, and so we want, okay, so for example, if you would turn, this is just off the top of my head. It's in the 1 Thessalonians. This is real simple. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, "Be joyful always." Okay, we choose to be joyful, right? Okay, when the Word of God says, "Be joyful always," now what does that mean? Now, my sister, she comes from good stock. What does "be joyful always" mean, Maggie? Be happy with what you have. Does it mean that, does it give us the permission to have pity parties? No, we can't have pity parties anymore. Oh, hey, there goes half of our joy. Half of our parties that we have are just thrown out the window right there. Okay, we can't have pity parties because God says be joyful always. Okay, so now, when things happen that are disappointing to us in our flesh, what is our response to be?
Negative.
Okay, well, our response in the flesh is going to be negative to that, but what is the response that God says to walk in?
Joyful.
Be joyful. Why? Not just because He says so, but when we are a joyful people and we rejoice, then God begins to come and fill us with His strength, because the joy of the Lord is His strength. But He says, be joyful always. He says, pray continually. Okay, we know what that means, right? Good. 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. All right? And it goes on and it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So it gives us three things, three real simple, very short, very concise, and very simple instructions. For this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ. Rejoice, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all things. Now, those are so simple, but they're not necessarily easy to do. One of the, I heard this once from some teenagers who were sharing their testimony, and one of them said, you know, the Christian life is laid out, and it's so simple as it's laid out, but it is so difficult to pull off. And so, simple things, pray continually, be joyful always, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Listen, when you are joyful, not just those times when everything is just going really well, but when you're joyful and you set your heart, I'm going to rejoice and be joyful today, and I determined to be that way because that's what my Lord instructs me to be, then as we begin to walk that out, and we begin to walk it out, and so Jesus would say, you're keeping my teaching, you walk that out in obedience, and one of the things that begins to happen then is that we find that the kingdom of heaven begins to be manifest in our midst. And so when we go through life and we're always, as we go through our day and we're praying to God, and it's not like you don't have to be in your prayer closet praying in this physical posture of prayer, but as we go through the day and our heart is tuned to God, and prayer is not just talking to God, but prayer is also having our heart tuned to Him. It's like your radio receiver, and you have this little dial, you know, and you dial it in to hear God's voice, and so you're tuned in to hear God as well as you're communicating and communing with God, you know, continually. And as we purpose to do that, then we find that the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven on this earth begins to develop around us, and it begins to take place around us. And you're thinking, well, what is different between the way I used to live before I was walking in obedience and the way that I am living now? And it's simply that God begins to do things because His kingdom begins to be manifest in our presence. Amen? So we say, God, we want Your kingdom to come on this earth and Your will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Then it is incumbent upon us as God's people. This is real simple. It's incumbent upon us as God's people to walk in His commands. Just walk it out. So what you read, you're not just reading it and then you're walking away from it. And James says that's like looking into the mirror and then you turn away and you forget what you look like. He says, but you read what's in God's Word, then you intentionally say, okay, listen, I am under a king, I'm in His kingdom, and so I call Him Lord, and so I'm going to walk out what He has called me to do. And so that which I read in His Word, that's what I'm going to do in my life. Amen? And just real lastly, we want to co-labor with Christ to establish His kingdom on this earth. And you know how weak and feeble we are in carrying that out in our own efforts? We can't do it, guys. And so, why did Jesus send the Holy Spirit to this earth? To bring the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven to this earth. So as Zechariah says, it's not by our strength, it's not by our might and our power, it's not by our intellect and everything that we can bring to the table that this stuff happens. It occurs by the Spirit of God. And so You know, Jesus tells the disciples, he said, listen, what you need to do, you know, go and stay in Jerusalem, go to the upper room, and you just kind of wait. And you guys be in one accord up there, and you just be seeking God. And you wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Because when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he is going to give you power to be my witnesses. Now, we are to be witnesses of the kingdom of God. We are to be witnesses of what the kingdom is all about. And we can only do that with the Holy Spirit upon us. John tells it like this in when he talks about, he says, you know, the people who believe in me, something's going to happen in them. He says, there's going to be rivers of living water will flow from within them and flow out. Okay? So the whole concept then of God wants us to have the Spirit of God flowing out of us, because it's through the Spirit that the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven is going to occur on this earth. But we are the vessels. And so, you know, we ask God, you know, fill us, Lord. We need to, you know, when we ask God, we want to be baptized in your Spirit. Why is that so important? It's because on our own we cannot do the task that God has called us to do. But he said, don't worry, I have given you the means and the ability through the Spirit that I have sent to carry out that which I purpose in your life. So the disciples were filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but then later on it says in a few chapters later, again they were full of the Holy Spirit, and that is why they were able to accomplish that which they did. It was not the disciples, it was the Spirit of God that came upon them and flowed through them that accomplished the bringing the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven to the earth in which they walked and their sphere that they had rule over. Okay, so that is for us today, that God wants us to enter into his kingdom by saying yes to him. You're my Lord, and so I'm going to walk it out by walking in obedience to your word. And while I do that, the kingdom of God begins to come into my life. And the thing that we need then to walk it out successfully so that the kingdom is flowing from us is to have the Spirit of God flowing through us. Amen? Amen. Okay. Well, Lord, we want to thank you. Well, let me back up just a second. What we need is the Spirit of God to flow through us to accomplish his will. Amen? Okay. Let me say that again. Some of you guys are just kind of goofing off, some of the young people back there, center section. What we need is the Spirit of God flowing through us to accomplish his purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, without the Spirit of God, we ain't accomplishing nothing. Yeah. Yeah. To be honest with you, without the Spirit of God flowing through us, all we have is an organization. Amen? Because you can build a church and you can do all the church stuff that you need to do, and it cannot have life in it if it doesn't have the Spirit of God flowing through the people. All you have is an organization. Now, who wants just to have an organization? Nobody does, okay? But listen, if you have the Spirit of God, because where the Spirit is, there is life. And where you have life, you don't have an organization. You have an organism that grows and is vital and is living and is breathing, and it functions as an organism, not an organization. And so, listen, apart from the Holy Spirit, the church quickly descends into just an organization. And, you know, we can do everything we want in our power, and we can create a great organization, but we don't have a living organism that impacts lives. We won't have the organization is not what is going to bring about the kingdom of heaven upon this earth. That is for a living organism called the church. And in order for that to happen, We need the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. That's about as good an amen as I'm going to get out of you guys today. So here's what we're going to do this morning. As we receive communion, we're recognizing when we come and we receive communion, you know, it's not just a remembrance. We remember the covenant that was established through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that part of it. But it also is when we come and we partake of the communion elements, we are really making a declaration that God has revealed Himself to me. He has revealed His truth and His authority, and I put my life under Him. And that I have chosen to enter into His kingdom by making Him Lord of my life. I willingly choose to obey that what He calls me to do and that what He teaches me to do. I will obey. Okay? And that's our declaration as we take communion this morning. But then also, we are a people, as I said, who desperately need the Holy Spirit. You know, upon us, because we're born of the Spirit, so the Spirit's in us, but we need the Spirit to come and empower us to be witnesses, because it's through the Spirit that His kingdom advances. Okay, and so we're going to pray for one another as we take communion, and what I want you to pray for the people that you are praying for is I want you to pray that God's Spirit would be upon them to empower them to be witnesses this week. Okay? So that's the main thing you're going to be praying for, is that the Spirit of God would be upon them so that they would be witnesses this week in advancing the kingdom of God on this earth. Okay? So, George and Marley, would you go back to that back table and start back there? And Andy and Cindy, since you're on the back row, would you go over there? And Don, you want to come up here and help me? And we'll get started. And communion is open to everybody who loves the Lord and just wants to make that declaration. And for those who are new, when you receive communion and you're prayed over, you're going to stay up here at the table where you're at, and you're going to serve communion to the next group that comes for communion. And when you serve communion to them, we want you to pray over them. Okay? And we've told you what you need to pray over them. Okay, let's go, guys. And Parker, would you play some music for us? Yeah, go get in line.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me wine and snow.
Okay. Gather around. No. They get all these prayers over there. They'll be up here forever.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.